Please turn to John 1, verses 37 through 42. Let's look at verse 37. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. These two disciples heard John give a public declaration of the identity of Jesus in verses 19 through 34. Now they're given some private direction concerning Jesus in verse 35. John is saying to them, go, follow him. He is the one. He's the one. He's the Messiah. He's the one. They heed the call and they begin to follow Jesus. At this point, these two men are just two regular guys. Neither is saved by grace. Neither is a child of God. What they have heard about this Jesus has made them curious about him. The word of God has been used to prick their hearts, and they become interested in him. That's how people come to know the Lord. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God to show the lost person their need of a Savior. He uses that Word to point them to Jesus Christ. We see in John 16, verses 7 through 11. This is Jesus speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He uses the word to create a hunger within them for something they do not have. He gives them the desire for more. The Holy Spirit gives them the desire for more. This is an essential component of salvation. God must move first. The Holy Spirit convicts a person. Look at John 6, John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The Father draws. He draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. When the Spirit of God begins to create this hunger within a person, it is called conviction. The sinner becomes convicted about his sinful condition, his condemnation in hell, his need of a Savior, and of his need to get to Jesus Christ. Let me say this, being under conviction is a horrible feeling, but the day God reveals your sin to you is one of the greatest days of your life. Jesus knows these men are behind him. We see in verse 38 of our text. He knows these men are behind him, and he turns to speak to them. He asks them a strange question in verse 38. What seek ye? This question is the same as saying, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Jesus does not ask this question for his own benefit. He's omniscient and he knows why they're there. He asks the question for their benefit. These men are hungry for a relationship with God. These men are being drawn. This is clear from the fact that they have been following John the Baptist. He has been teaching them that the Messiah is coming and they're longing for a relationship with that Messiah. When Jesus asks them, what seek ye? He's asking them to examine their motives for wanting to follow him. If they were looking for a revolutionary leader who would throw off the yoke of Rome and liberate the Jews, then they were following the wrong man. If they were looking for one who would carry on the tradition of Judaism and dead religion, then they were following the wrong man. If, however, they were looking for a new life, for eternal life, for salvation, and hope for the future, then they were following the right man. These two men had no idea how their lives were about to change. The question is, what are you looking for today? What are you looking for in your life? If you're looking for someone who'll make your life easier, Jesus isn't for you. If you're looking for someone who'll solve all your problems, Jesus isn't for you. If you're looking for someone who will make you feel better about yourself, then Jesus ain't for you either. If you are looking for a little religion on a Sunday morning so that you can feel better about the way you live Monday through Saturday, then Jesus isn't for you. But if you are looking for someone who will love you unconditionally, Jesus is for you. If you're looking for someone who can save your soul and give you eternal life and provide you a home in heaven, then Jesus is for you. If you're looking for someone who can forgive your sins and change your life, then Jesus is just who you are looking for. What you get out of life depends on what you are looking for in life. So, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? In verses 38 and 39 of chapter 1, we see the invitation to the disciples. These men respond to Jesus' question with one of their own. Rabbi, where dwelleth thou? This is a telling question. First they call him Rabbi. The word, as we're told, means master. It was a term of respect. It is clear that these men held Jesus in high regard. When they asked him, where dwelleth thou? They're asking more than just, where do you live? These men had heard about Jesus and they wanted to know more. They needed to ask him some questions and hear him tell them who he was and why he came. They're requesting an extended interview with Christ. His response is simple, yet it is so profound. Jesus simply said, come and see. Come and see. This simple phrase literally means, come with me and you will see. This is an invitation for them to examine Jesus for themselves. They have heard about him from others. Now they are invited to see for themselves. That invitation still stands. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you responded to his invitation to come and see? Come and see. He's still calling those who do not know him to come to him for salvation. Look at Revelation 22, chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take the water of life freely. If you will come when he is calling, you can and you will be saved. That is the promise that you find in John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. What a beautiful promise by Jesus Christ. Him that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. Come to Christ today. It is one thing to hear about Jesus Christ and what he can do. And it is another thing altogether to experience him for yourself and know what he can do in your life. I praise God for every testimony of salvation recorded in the Word of God. But I am even more grateful for that day when Jesus Christ invited me to come and see, Bill. Come and see, taste and see that I am good. I'm glad Jesus saved Paul and John and Peter and the rest. But I rejoice that he saved me. I am glad that God gave you a testimony, but I am glad that he gave me one too also. Now, when you share yours, it bears witness with mine, and I can rejoice in what Jesus Christ did in you because he did it in me also. Hallelujah. Back in our text in verses 39 through 42, this day became the day of salvation for these two men. When they met Jesus Christ for themselves, their lives changed forever. Two of those changes are highlighted in these verses. First of all, they wanted to stay with Jesus. John tells us that it was about the 10th hour when these men followed Jesus to the place where he was staying. This could mean 10 o'clock in the morning if John is using Roman time, or it could mean 4 o'clock in the afternoon if he's using Jewish time. From the wording of the verse, it seems to me that it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was getting close to dark, and these men were anxious to talk to Christ. They spent the rest of the day, and probably that night, in his presence. They spent the rest of their lives in his service. Andrew took the gospel into Greece and was crucified there upside down on an X-shaped cross. John was close to Jesus all the days that Jesus lived. He was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. John laid his head on the breast of our Lord at the Last Supper. John was there when Jesus stood trial before the Jewish high priest. John was the only disciple to go to Calvary. He was at the foot of the cross when Jesus died. He was the first disciple to the tomb the day that Jesus rose from the dead. John lived well into his 90s and wrote down the book of Revelation while he was a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos for his testimony of Jesus Christ. John never got over the day he met Jesus Christ for himself. He never got over the day he was saved. He was an old man when he wrote the words we're reading today, and he still remembered that it was about the 10th hour. Jesus saved his soul and changed his life, and he wanted to stay with Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus Christ affects those that he saves. In Mark 5, verses 1 through 20, we read of the Gadarene demoniac, who was a man who endured terrible spiritual bondage. The demons that possessed his body controlled and ruined his life. He was a vicious, violent, dangerous man who lived among the dead in the graveyard. He was separated from his family and from society. Men had even tried to capture him, but he had escaped from their bonds and continued to live his life of terrible torment. He spent his days and nights crying out and cutting himself. Then one day Jesus Christ showed up. He spoke to this man. He delivered him from the demons and saved his soul. Jesus absolutely changed his life. In that text, in verse 15, it tells us about the radical changes that Jesus Christ made in this man's life. We're told that he was found sitting and clothed and in his right mind. In his right mind. When Jesus Christ was forced to leave that place, this delivered man wanted to go with Jesus Christ. And that's just how it is. When you meet Jesus Christ and he changes your life, you'll want to stay with him. There are some people, they come supposedly to Christ, they make a profession, they join the church, they're baptized, and yet they're nowhere to be found. They're nowhere to be found. People who don't want to stay near him, though, you must realize they probably didn't know him in the first place. All they did was give Christ mental assent. There was no heart transformation. There was no being born again. There was no new heart. In 1 John 2, verse 19, we read, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, so that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Brothers and sisters, everyone who confesses Christ does not necessarily possess Jesus Christ. As I said, there were some that go out from among us. Then there's the rest. There are some who were seeking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained with sin, seeking to rise no more. But they remember the moment when they met Jesus Christ, and they sing of the moment when the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from where the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. They truly met Jesus Christ, and their life was changed forever. Now, you can't run off disciples like that. They love the Lord. They love his people. They love his word. They love his music. They love everything that has to do with Christ. You don't have to hunt them down. They're not Secret Service Christians. They met Jesus Christ, and their life changed. And the question is your life changed? Or are you just playing the game? Are you just playing the game? You just wanted a little quote-unquote religion to soothe your conscience. You never truly came to Christ. You've never been born again. You've only started to go to some building that is called the church on a Sunday morning for an hour, and you think that somehow that's what born again means. Born again means Christ is everything. He has come. He has changed your life. You have been changed in a mighty way. Those that want to stay close with him all the time, your desire for Christ and for the things he loves says a lot about your relationship with him. Are you with Christ on Monday morning through Saturday night? Is it every day, all the time? You can't get Christ out of your head. Why could you get him out of your head? He lives inside you now. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Back to our text. In verses 40 to 42, the disciples wanted to share Jesus. As soon as these men had met Jesus Christ and their own salvation was settled, they wanted to share him with others. In fact, every time Andrew appears in the gospel record, he's bringing someone to Christ. He went first to his brother Simon Peter and brings him to Christ. When Andrew brought Peter to Jesus, he was doing something great for the church of Jesus Christ. Peter became a great preacher of the gospel, and God used him to bring thousands into the church. We all know of Peter, but how many of us know of Andrew? In John 6, Andrew is the one who brought the little fellow who had the little loaves and the fishes to Jesus Christ. In John 12, it is Andrew who helps a group of curious Greeks make contact with Jesus Christ. When Andrew met Jesus Christ, a burden was created within his heart to share his Savior with everyone that he met. That's what Jesus Christ will do for you. He's too good to keep to yourself. When you meet him, you'll want others to meet him too. There'll be a burning desire within your heart to share Jesus Christ with all that you meet. This desire to share the Savior with others is a good indication of your relationship with Him. Where do you think that burden to share comes from? But from the Holy Spirit. Come and see. Come and see. That's the name of the message today. Come and see. Christ is still inviting people to consider Him. We're living in a world where people are seeking answers. They're looking for direction, fulfillment, and hope, and they're willing to follow just about anyone. And yet the one that says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, they reject. If you are among that number and you're looking for more from life, you need to know that His invitation is still in existence today. Come and see. My friend, if you've never come to Christ today. He is the answer. He is the answer. Come and see. You've tried everything else and nothing seems to satisfy you. Come and see. Come to Christ. You've tried quote-unquote church and then work. Come to Christ. Not come to church. Come to Christ. And then become part of a gathering of saints that fellowship around Christ. But the church building ain't going to save you. Only Jesus Christ will save you. You tried sin, you tried drugs, you tried sex, you tried every worldly thing that you can imagine. But nothing has worked, nothing is satisfying you. Why? Because you have to come to Christ. Come and see. You need help. And you can't seem to find it anywhere. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the answer. Maybe you've tried Jesus Christ in the past and He didn't work. The problem was not with Him. The problem was with you. You wanted Christ, but yet you wanted the world. Only Christ can satisfy you. You don't try Jesus. You surrender to Him totally and let Him save you. And take control of your life. Come and see. Come to Christ. Whatever your need is today. And if you're not saved, your greatest need is to flee from the wrath of God. For it says, apart from Christ, that you are condemned. Apart from Christ, your only thing waiting for you is hell. But yet, Christ came to this world to save His people from their sin. Have you felt the weight of your sin? Have you been convicted over the years? Have you been convicted today? Is something crying out to you saying, yes, you need salvation. Come to Christ today. May today be the day of salvation. And brothers and sisters, if you're listening today and you've been lukewarm, then as He said to the church of Laodicea, repent. Repent. Turn around. Open the door and I will come in and sup with you. I'll come on and fellowship with you. If you've gotten off of the road and if you've made a detour to this world and the things of the world, then repent and come back to Jesus Christ, for He is worthy of your love. Maybe you are as the Ephesian believers in Revelation 2, that you've lost your first love, you've abandoned your first love, then come back to Christ, for He is a compassionate and merciful Savior. Oh, hallelujah, brothers and sisters. What a great Savior that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. For He is worthy of our all. For Christ is all.